Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 83, 9 Common Cooking Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. Hey everybody, Roger here. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. As you know, this is the podcast that helps home cooks get in the kitchen and cook more, have more fun doing it, be better at making the food you want to make and hanging out with your family, all that good stuff. That's what we're about. Today's episode is kind of going back kind of to the basics in a way. I'm going to talk about common cooking mistakes and how to avoid them. And part of the reason I'm kind of revisiting this topic to some degree, I've covered some of this in the past, is that right now at the beginning of the new year, there are a lot of people that are kind of rethinking their relationship with their kitchen and how they cook for themselves or don't for their family and want to get back into the kitchen and do more cooking. Some for the first time ever. Some are completely new. And I know some of you are listening to this podcast because I've heard from you. So I wanted to cover that topic again to kind of get us set off, pushed off in the right direction for 2017. Before I get into it, I just want to remind everybody that you can head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com to find the website. And if you want the show notes for this particular episode, you can go to kitchencounterpodcast.com/83. That's just the number 83, and you'll get the show notes for this episode. Also, if you'd like to get in touch with me, you can send me an email to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. I read and respond to every email I get. You can also find me on Facebook and Twitter at TKC Podcast and all that good kind of stuff. If you want to reach out and connect, I'm happy to hear from you. In fact, I love hearing from listeners. So please, 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 if you have a question or just want to say hi, reach out. All right. How about enough of that housekeeping stuff? What do you say we jump right into the episode and I'm going to bring you 9 cooking mistakes and how to avoid them. Okay, it's a new year. It's 2017. You're probably thinking, gosh, I need to stop eating McDonald's all the time. I need to stop getting a pizza every other night or so for dinner. You're probably not thinking that, but some of you are, I know. And I know you want to get in the kitchen and start making your own food, whether it's healthy, super healthy, lifestyle changing type foods, or maybe you just want to learn how to make your own pizza. Whatever it is, when you're getting into the kitchen, it's overwhelming. It's a skill that takes a lot of work to master or to really even get good at, but beginning is not hard and getting yourself started out on the right path is not hard. And it's just one of those things where you learn as you go. So I wanted to do an episode today about some common cooking mistakes, usually made by new home cooks, but often made by experienced home cooks as well. I know I still make some of these mistakes, but because I do, I can hopefully help you avoid a few of them by kind of talking about them and giving you a heads up, because some of these are not intuitive mistakes and they're not technical mistakes per se. So it's really easy to not even know you're doing it. All right. So let's dive right in. I'm just going to go down these and talk about each one of them as we go. These are my 9 common mistakes and how to avoid them. So let's start out with number 1. So this is the most technical and skill focused mistake on this list. And that's quite simply is that you don't understand the simple fundamentals of cooking. Now, what do I mean by simple fundamentals of cooking? Well, when you read a recipe, really any recipe, there's going to be a few things on that recipe that tell you what you need to do with the ingredients. So it might be dice, boil, saute, simmer, steam, whatever it is, brown. You know, there's all these terms that are used in cooking to kind of give you clues onto what you're supposed to do with the ingredient at any particular stage in the dish you're making. If you don't understand the real simple things, like what does boiling water look like? And believe it or not, there's people that do not know what boiling water looks like. It's really a thing. You have to know the difference between a rolling boil and barely a simmer. There's people out there that think barely a simmer is boiling, but it's not. And that can affect how your dishes turn out. That's not understanding some of the simple fundamentals of cooking. You know, another example would be a lot of folks will bake something in the oven without preheating the oven, even though the recipes usually call for a preheated oven. That can drastically change how your recipes turn out, believe it or not. So the fundamentals are important. And the easiest way to tackle this is if you're reading a recipe and you're like, boy, I really don't know what a fine dice is on an onion. Google it. I mean, that's my best advice. Just Google it. There are 1.5 billion videos and tutorials out there on how to do pretty much everything a home cook would want to do. So number one, and it's a very technical one, is just do your best to understand the fundamentals of cooking. And that is going to relieve a lot of irritation and frustration down the road. All right. Number two is an important one as well, especially if you cook from recipes, which most of us do, especially when you're starting out. And that is, you don't read the recipes through before you start cooking. And this is a really big deal. In fact, these first three tips that I'm going over, understanding the fundamentals, reading the recipes through, and the next one, which I'll talk about in a second. If you can handle these three tasks, your chances of success in the kitchen are going to go up, 50% at least. So what do I mean by reading recipes through? Well, look at the recipe, understand what ingredients and what kind of treatments to those ingredients they're calling for. Do they want the onion diced, minced, sliced, that sort of a thing. And kind of, you've heard about like professional athletes that close their eyes, like a golfer, and they'll visualize the hole and they'll visualize walking up to the tee and swinging and hitting the ball. And, they kind of visualize working through to their goal. You want to do that with a recipe too. So when you're reading your recipe, read it through, because the worst thing in the world is getting halfway through a recipe and realizing, I tossed all the butter in. I was supposed to save half of it for a later step in the recipe. Or you'll get to a point in the recipe and it'll call for a technique that you've never heard of. And now you've got to, stop while your fish is rapidly approaching overcooking, to figure out what the next step in the recipe is, for example. So it's really important to read through. And as a matter of fact, mistake number three is really kind of directly related to mistake number two. And that is, you don't use the technique of mise en place. So what in the world is mise en place? Well, it's a fancy French term. I've talked about this in other episodes, but this is, again, one of the most important things you can do to be a successful home cook. And that it simply means everything in its place. So when you read a recipe through and you understand what kind of things you need to do to prepare the ingredients, and you kind of understand where the ingredients need to enter the recipe or when you're going to utilize them, you can set up all of your ingredients ahead of time. So you're not scrambling for that ingredient. For example, I used in the last point, you're cooking your fish and you have to stop and try to figure something out. Well, imagine you have a beautiful salmon fillet in a sizzling hot pan. You dropped it in there with your oil. And now the recipe, calls for a knob of butter to be dropped in the pan. And you have to go to the fridge while your salmon's cooking and you're digging through, leftovers. And you're like, where did I leave the butter? It's not in the dairy drawer. Oh, good grief. So you're unloading your fridge. Meanwhile, your salmon is cooking away, probably beyond the point of really where you want it to be before you even find the butter. Hopefully you have butter, right? That's even a worse problem. You didn't have an ingredient because you didn't read the recipe through and you didn't set it out and prepare it. So if you do mise en place, that means you have the butter right there in a little dish or in a bowl or whatever, ready to go. And when the recipe calls for it, you just reach right over. It's right there in front of you, drop it in, and you move on. So you do that with all your ingredients, and that will greatly, greatly increase your chance of success for any recipe you cook. So, get some little bowls and plates that you can wash and reuse. Those work really great for mise en place. All right, number four. This is something that can bedevil new cooks or inexperienced cooks if you don't watch out for it. And it's quite simply, you try to make overly complicated recipes. Okay. So here's a fact. A lot of really, really complicated recipes taste incredible. Okay. Here's another fact. A lot of really, really simple recipes taste even better. So don't fall into the trap of thinking that the more complicated a recipe is, or the more ingredients it calls for, the tastier it will be, or the more impressive it will be to your dinner guests. If you asked anyone who knew my mom if she was a great home cook, they would all say yes. And I can't think of many of her recipes that have more than a handful of ingredients. Complicated recipes offer more opportunity for failure, and that will derail you and your journey in the kitchen real quick, especially when you're just starting out. So keeping it simple is important. If you've never cooked a thing in your life, you're probably not going to want to tackle a beef Wellington. Start simple, expand from there. And that leads me into my next point. Number five mistake is that you like to try a huge variety of recipes, but you don't try to master any of them. Now, why is this a mistake? I mean, it seems like trying a lot of different things would be a good thing for a new cook to do. And it is to a degree, but get this. So if you went to the popular recipe website, allrecipes.com, and if you've cooked anything in your life and you have access to the internet, I would be willing to bet you've been to this website. But you know, there are so many recipes available on All Recipes that even if you tried one new recipe every day, it would take you something like 9,000 lifetimes to try every recipe. Okay, so that's insane. That's one website. So the point that I'm trying to make, it's easy to try new things because you have access to a virtually unlimited supply of new ideas when it comes to cooking. And you can hop around from recipe to recipe, technique to technique, cuisine to cuisine, and never really get anything under your belt that you can go back and say, you know what? I make a killer 13 bean soup. I can make that in my head from scratch and it turns out great every time. I can use that recipe as a basis to expand. So, you know, an analogy would be if you've ever tried to teach yourself a musical instrument. So let's say you're trying to learn to play guitar. Do you think it would be better to try a new song one time and then move on to another new song and try that one time and then move on to another new song and try that one time? Probably not, because you're never going to really master anything. You're never going to get good enough at any one song to be a decent guitar player. You probably won't even learn the fundamentals of playing guitar. It's the same with cooking. Trust me, I know this because that's basically how I've been trying to teach myself to play guitar for the past 15 years. But it's the same with cooking. You know, figure out what you love to cook, go deep with it, get really, really good at it. And pretty soon your confidence will go up, your skill level will raise, and you'll be able to branch out and master other things instead of just being kind of a hopscotching from dish to dish. Mistake number six that new home cooks, and even, again, experienced home cooks, I fall into this trap quite often, is that they expect their food will turn out just like it looks on the food blog or the TV show or the glossy magazine they found the recipe in. But I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. The dirty little secret about food media is that most of the food that they show on the Food Network or the fancy blogs or the popular blogs you check out or on Pinterest never turn out that way in real life, at least not the first time. So I'm not saying that they're faking anything, but I'm just saying they take a lot of time making their food shots look good. They take a lot of time preparing the food, in some cases multiple times, because maybe you make that pie and it just doesn't look very photogenic. So the solution, make a two or three pies and maybe one of those will turn out looking fantastic. And hey, you got a couple pies you can give away. So they make it look easy. They make it look delicious. They make it look enticing, which is for a consumer of recipes and blogs and magazines and TV shows. That's great for us, but it can set unrealistic expectations that a home cook just can't really live up to. Okay. I'm not saying your food should look just plain and boring, but making it look like a 3-star Michelin chef made it should not be your goal when you're cooking at home. Okay, don't worry about what your food looks like. If it tastes great, the rest will follow. Mistake number seven that is, again, quite an easy one to fall into, especially if you're a busy person, if you have a family that you need to tend to while you're trying to cook, for example, is that they don't give their complete attention to the process of cooking something. So cooking generally isn't something you can just sort of wing or do at the same time as a bunch of other stuff in most cases. You know, it requires attention. So if you get distracted by the kids or the text messages or Facebook alerts that are coming onto your phone, or you're trying to catch reruns of Bachelor in Paradise, it'll result in burnt or overcooked food or forgotten side dishes, or, you know, recipes and food that just doesn't turn out like you intended it to turn out. You really do have to focus on your cooking. You have to be present. Now, you don't want to be so focused on your cooking that you're neglecting everything else around you. It's a balance, and everybody has to kind of figure out what their kind of cooking versus other things balance is. But just know, when you're cooking and you're working with heat and hot liquids and specific times that you have to pay attention to, that you do have to be somewhat focused on your cooking. You know, if there's someone there that can play with the kids while you cook, great. Better yet, if your kids are old enough to help, get them in the kitchen and help cook, you know, help them cut up the carrots or whatever. You know, DVR the TV show that you can't miss and check it out after you're done cooking. I mean, it sounds very fundamental, and I don't want to sound like I'm talking down about this, but it's really, really easy, if you don't pay attention while you're cooking, to not be successful. And again, that will just lead to not wanting to cook. So we don't want that to happen. Okay, we've got a couple more. The number 8 common cooking mistake is that you fall too in love with your equipment. And I know some of you can relate to this, because this is what I mean. I myself am kind of a serial hobbyist. Okay, I get the idea. I want to do something as a hobby or whatever. And so the first thing I do is I research the equipment, and then I go out and get a bunch of the knickknacks and the gear, whatever that you do for whatever said activity is. Sometimes what I'll do is I'll get so into the gear and researching it and getting the pieces that I need that by the time I'm ready to dive in and start doing the hobby, a couple things happens. I lose interest. I figure out I don't really maybe want to do this after all. Or I figure out that the learning curve is incredibly steep on said hobby, and half the gear I've purchased would be only used for very advanced uses, and I realize I'll probably never get there because I don't have the time or the interest to devote to that hobby. Do you see where I'm going with this? As it relates to cooking, you know, having the fanciest pans and the fanciest bakeware and the best blender and the nicest knife is great if that's what you want to spend your money on and your time accumulating that sort of stuff. But the fact of the matter is, if you never go in the kitchen and use any of it, it's really a waste. Okay. So don't substitute getting a bunch of interesting gear or all the nifty kitchen gadgets for actually getting in the kitchen and cooking something. You know, start simple. If you're not sure you're going to be cooking for the long term, because maybe you're just starting out with this, start simple. You know, find some good secondhand gear. Borrow that fancy blender if you're not sure it's really an investment you want to make, so you can use it and try it out. You know, an unbelievable number of things can be made with nothing more than a wooden spoon and a skillet. You know, you don't need a professionally stocked kitchen to make amazing food. So don't fall in love with the equipment to the detriment of actually getting in the kitchen and learning how to use it or cook or make good food for yourself and your family. Okay, the last common cooking mistake that people make is that they don't take food safety seriously. I know, kind of a boring one, kind of a downer, but food safety is a big deal, okay? It's important that when you are making food for yourself, your family, your guests, or whatever, that you are safe with the ingredients. I don't want to make it sound like cooking is a dangerous sport, but it can lead to issues if you're not careful about using some of your ingredients or cooking food to the proper temperature. As a matter of fact, I did an entire podcast episode on this early on in the life of the show. In fact, I think it was episode 4 I did way back a couple years ago. So if you want to check it out, you can go to kitchencounterpodcast.com/4. You'll get to the episode in the show notes for that. I'll warn you now, I have not listened to that episode since I recorded it, so it's probably terrible since it was the 4th episode I ever did. But hey, check it out. But otherwise, you know, get a little bit familiar with food safety. One great way to do it, if you want to know the fundamentals, is find out in your state what the requirements are to get a food handler certificate. And chances are there's probably some study guide or something that goes along with studying for that food handler's test. Grab that if you can and read through it, because it will teach you the fundamentals. And by fundamentals, I mean things like properly separating your raw meat from your vegetables or other items that are going into your recipe. Or maybe you didn't know this, but you shouldn't store raw meat on the top shelf of your refrigerator. You should always store it in the bottom of your refrigerator, because that will reduce the chance that any delicious raw meat juices might drip down onto food below. The last thing you want to do is put your raw chicken up on the top shelf, and then the next day you grab that plate of radishes you had in the fridge and find that chicken had dripped all over it. That's not a good look. You don't want that to happen. And of course, basic things like being sanitary, washing your hands, and making sure maybe you have a separate cutting board for raw meat that you do for other things, or cooking your food to the correct temperature. Again, just to use the chicken example, because chicken is kind of an offender when it comes to foodborne illnesses with salmonella, is that, you don't want to spend a lot of time roasting a nice chicken and then cutting into it and realizing that the internal temperature of the chicken only got to, 130, which is way below safe temperature for chicken, right? You need to get that up to about 165. So investing in a good meat thermometer would be a very, very smart move. They're not expensive, but those are things that you should have as a home cook that are going to make your life a lot better, and is going to make it the chances of you turning out a dish that could potentially make somebody sick a lot lower. So that's mistake number 9, is not taking food safety seriously. Again, it's nothing to be scared of. As long as you understand the basics, you really probably will never have a problem. Okay, those were my 9 common mistakes that new home cooks and sometimes experienced home cooks make. And hopefully I gave you some notes on how to avoid them so you don't have these issues. But let me just quickly recap the list. So 1 was not understanding the most simple fundamental. So understanding how to boil water, what browning something looks like, preheating, how to use those fancy kitchen gadgets you have. So understanding the fundamentals of cooking is important. 2, not reading the recipes through before starting, which goes along with 3, not preparing your ingredients ahead of time, or not using mise en place, to use the French term. So read your recipes through, get your ingredients together before you even dream of starting your recipe, and your success rate will skyrocket. 4, trying to make overly complicated dishes. Keep it simple, especially at the beginning. There's a lot of really great simple recipes out there that are better than the complicated ones. 5, trying to attempt a huge variety of recipes, but trying to master none of them. So really, my best advice here is try different things, but find what you like to make, what you like to eat, what interests you, and get good, really good at making it, and the rest will follow. 6 was expecting that food that is made will turn out looking like Top Chefs and the food blogs and the cooking programs, camera ready, appetizing, perfectly laid out. It never works out that way in the home kitchen. So understand that as long as your food tastes good and looks presentable, you're fine. 7 was not giving complete attention to the process of cooking. Remember, I mentioned cooking takes focus and attention, so make sure you give it the focus that it needs while you're making your recipes. 8 was falling too in love with the equipment, one I can really relate to. As I mentioned, having all the coolest gear does not substitute for knowing how to use any of it. And 9 was not taking food safety seriously. This might be the most important out of all of them, and the easiest to overcome, as long as you understand the fundamentals of food safety. Okay, that was it. That was my 9 common mistakes that I see new home cooks and experienced home cooks making, and hopefully some tips on how to avoid them. I'd be curious to know if you have a tip or a mistake that you see, or that you've done yourself, that you want to share and let other people know about and how to avoid. I'll share those on an upcoming episode if you've got those. And you can email those over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Well, that will do it for this episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Thank you so much again for listening. If you got some value out of this, or if you want to share the love, please tell your friends and your family about the show. It's the best way for me to get into more people's ears. Another great way is to head over to iTunes or Google Play and leave a review and a rating. That would be great too. Once more, if you'd like to find me online, you can do so at kitchencounterpodcast.com. And if you'd like to send me an email, do so at feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. All right, everybody. I'm Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Until next time, happy cooking.